Let's read Lamentations chapter 3. Here in this central chapter of the book of Lamentations, we find hope for God's people in the midst of pain and hardship. Let's begin by reading the first 18 verses. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Let's begin our study of Lamentations chapter 3 with some background notes. Lamentations chapter 3 is the heart of the book of Lamentations. It is like an oasis in the middle of a desert of despair and discouragement. In fact, the most well-known verses in the book are at the center of this oasis. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. What a great shining beacon of truth this is for God's people, set against a seemingly hopeless black background of hurt and hardship. In this chapter, by using the first person, Jeremiah identifies himself with the city of Jerusalem in its sufferings under the judgment of God for the sins of the nation. In this aspect, Lamentations chapter 3 is messianic because it foreshadows the passion of the Lord Jesus as he suffered on the cross for our sins. Verse 1, once again, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Certainly, the man under God's wrath here foreshadows our Lord on the cross under the rod of God's judgment for our sins. Now, obviously, all of these verses cannot be applied literally to the Lord's suffering, such as the broken bones of verse 4 and broken teeth of verse 16. But many of these verses do apply in a literal way. For example, compare verse 8, even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. Compare this verse with verses 1 and 2 of the Messianic Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. And compare verse 14 here in Lamentations chapter 3. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. Compare this verse with verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 22. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of my people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Psalm 22, verses 6 and 7. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God's people can hope in the midst of hurts and hardships. God's people can hope in the midst of hurts and hardships. Verses 19 through 40. In verses 19 through 21, as Jeremiah called on the Lord to remember their affliction, the Lord caused Jeremiah to remember something that gave him hope. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What was it that gave Jeremiah hope? Verses 22 through 24 give the answer. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. But wait a minute, you say. How could Jeremiah and the godly remnant of Jews, experiencing such horrible conditions in Jerusalem, speak of God's great faithfulness and daily compassions? I'm reading from something I wrote on the Book of Lamentations some years ago. It's entitled, Hope in the Midst of Hurt. Quote, how could they say this? Where was the evidence of God's faithfulness in such a situation? What new compassions were they experiencing every morning? Jeremiah and a few godly Jews were able to see that God was faithful to what he had declared in his word. God had said over and over again that he would have to discipline the nation for her sin. God was faithful to that promise. God had also declared through his prophet Jeremiah that he would not destroy Judah completely, even though they deserved to be wiped out and erased as a nation. See Jeremiah chapters 4 and 5 in this connection. And God was faithful to that promise. Furthermore, God had revealed through the prophet Jeremiah that the nation would return from its captivity in Babylon after 70 years. See Jeremiah chapters 25 and 29 in this connection. Every day that went by, in which the faithful remnant was still preserved, was a day closer to the fulfillment of that prophecy. In fact, even the sunrise of every new day was a token of God's continuing compassions. They knew that God had declared that as long as the sun came up each day, the nation would live on. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36. They also knew that God's promised Messiah, the Savior for all mankind, would come someday through their nation. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. It was because of their confidence in these promises that they could hope in the midst of all their hurts. They knew God had not forsaken them because they knew he would be faithful to his word. How encouraging all of this can be for us. End of quote. So you can read the entire essay, Hope in the Midst of Hurt, on our website, growingchristians.org. God's people can hope in the midst of hurts and hardships. Now, several commentators have pointed out that in verses 25 through 40, here in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah expressed seven divine principles as to the nature of affliction for Israel in that day and also for God's people at all times. Number one, affliction can be endured because there is hope in God's restoration. Affliction can be endured because there is hope in God's restoration. Verses 25 through 30. Number two, affliction is only temporary and tempered with God's compassion. Affliction is only temporary and tempered with God's compassion. Verses 31 and 32. Number three, God does not delight in affliction. God does not delight in affliction. Verse 33, for he does not afflict willingly. And number four, God does not approve of affliction caused by injustice. God does not approve of affliction caused by injustice. Verses 34 and 35. And number five, affliction is always under the sovereign control of God. Affliction is always under the sovereign control of God. Verses 37 and 38. And number six, affliction can be because of sin, as in Judah's case. Affliction can be because of sin, as in Judah's case. Verse 39. Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. And finally, number seven, affliction should cause people to turn back to the Lord. Affliction should cause people to turn back to the Lord. Verse 40, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. So there we have seven divine principles as to the nature of affliction for Israel in that day, and also for God's people at all times. God's people can hope in the midst of hurts and hardships. Doctrinal point number two, God's people can pray in the midst of pains and problems. God's people can pray in the midst of pains and problems. Verses 41 through 66. In these verses, we have Jeremiah's prayer on behalf of the people of Judah and Jerusalem. In verses 41 through 47, Jeremiah used plural pronouns as he recalled and confessed the sins of the nation. Notice the sad effects of sin in the life of a nation or in the life of an individual. The Lord is angry, verse 43. Our prayers are not answered, verse 44. We are unfit for God's use as his witnesses, verses 45 and 46. Our lives are filled with panic and pitfalls, as well as devastation and destruction, verse 47. Notice the intense pain that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was experiencing in verses 48 through 51. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. My eyes bring suffering to my soul. As Jeremiah prayed to the Lord in the midst of his pain and suffering, so should we. The Lord does hear, and he does care, even though at times it may seem that he has forgotten us. Maybe there needs to be more confession of our sins in our prayers. In verses 52 through 54, Jeremiah used his own life of hardship as an example of what Judah was going through at that time. My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. Remember when the people tried to kill Jeremiah and put him in stocks like a criminal? See Jeremiah chapter 20 and 26. And remember how the people cast Jeremiah into a muddy cistern in Jeremiah chapter 38? Now in verses 55 through 66, Jeremiah recalls his own cry to the Lord for help and how the Lord delivered him. And furthermore, God judged Jeremiah's personal enemies when the Babylonians came in and conquered Jerusalem. In the same way, if Judah would even now follow Jeremiah's example and turn back to the Lord and call on the Lord, they would be delivered. These verses also call to mind the prayers of the future godly remnant during the coming tribulation period in the midst of their pain and hardship. The Lord will hear from heaven and deliver them and judge the enemies of restored Israel. As always, God's people can pray in the midst of pains and problems. And now what about practical application? Give the younger generation the challenge of hard work. Give the younger generation the challenge of hard work. For our practical application from Lamentations chapter 3, let's go back to verse 27. This verse is very practical. For it is good for man to bear the yoke in his youth. Lamentations 3:27. You've heard the expression, hard work never hurts anyone, right? Well, this verse goes further. Hard work, including hardship, is actually good for the younger generation. It strengthens and toughens and matures the younger generation. It is not good for the younger generation to be just given everything for nothing without having to work for it. So whether it be your students or your children, give them challenges that take some hard work. Not only chores around the house, but the challenge of memorizing a book of the Bible, for example. Or washing the car for an elderly neighbor for nothing. Give the younger generation the challenge of hard work.